It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Saving the best for last. That's what we're going to call this today. Sal Capaccio joining us now, on the West Her Hotline. I'm sorry. Gosh, that just snuck up on me. It's late in the going for us, Sal, but, you know, and I'm losing my voice all of a sudden. But anyway, I'll be fine. How are you, bud? Thanks for carving out a little time here.
I'm good. Let's be honest. You knew that you were lying when you said saving the best for last, and it made you kind of have some reflux there because you didn't like to lie to your listeners.
That is not it. I lie to the listeners all the time, Sal.
I love it.
good to talk to you. Eventful day.
You too,
I mean, there was –
yeah.
Where do we start here? I mean, we obviously found out about the Von Miller suspension yesterday during our show. We've got the injury report. Let's start with Von Miller. What does it mean on the field for them to be without him for 4 weeks?
Well, he's been a pretty good player for the first 3+ weeks. He didn't really play, though, on Sunday night.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it was situation and circumstance or if they were kind of preparing for this and getting some reps in for other guys. That could very well be the case, obviously. But, you know, in the time he's been out there, he's been pretty impactful and efficient more than anything, right, Bulldog? Like, it's not been a ton of snaps. But he's been pretty good in the limited number of snaps he's had. So that's what they're losing. A guy that, you know, you're not on the field a lot, but when you are, you have a chance to make something happen, and he's been pretty impactful. However, that said, he hasn't been on the field a ton. So it's not like they are losing a big, big piece of their rotation. They're losing a piece of it. But they have other guys. They've had 10 defensive linemen active. At least they did the last 2 weeks. They'll still have an opportunity for that because of the signing they had yesterday with Zion Logue. But they have a healthy rotation either way. And what this means now is that, okay, Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa will know they play a lot. DeJuan Smoot, he's a big part of that rotation. And then you have Casey Tuhill, and I think Javon Solomon starts to get a little more of a run. We'll see how much they play him. But I like some things he's done since he's been in there, but he'll have an opportunity here, obviously. And look, I mean, when Von, he's going to have 4 weeks. He's an older player. Obviously, the suspension is what it is for the reasons it is, and we can always talk about that. But when he comes back, that's 4 games, you know, further on that he hasn't, you know, played, and he'll have to. He's Von Miller. I'm sure he'll have, you know, be in shape as far as his body is concerned. But it is an opportunity, you know, for him to step back a little bit as well.
I guess the only other question I'd really have about it, is: do you think the Bills were blindsided by this? Like, did they think maybe they were in the clear on this, or would they have been sort of, I know McDermott said they got word, you know, a couple days ahead of it here, but do you think that they were caught sort of like not expecting any repercussions from last winter's incident?
I don't think that's the case based on, to me, maybe the reworking of the contract. Like, to me, when the contract was reworked, that was a signal that it was possibly that they were kind of all understanding this could happen. Because what they did was they lowered his base salary to pretty much like less than $2 million, I think, close to maybe the minimum. And they gave him a bigger signing bonus. The Bills got cap relief from it, but Von got his guarantees in a different way, basically. He got signing bonus guarantees, right? A signing bonus. So I think that was an indication that maybe they all understood that this could happen. Whether they knew it was going to happen or not, I'm not really sure. But I think there had to be some thought that this could very well be possible. And look, I mean, it's not like these things happen in a vacuum all the time. And when you say, like, blindsided, they've been in contact with the league. Until the league says you're in the clear, there's no reason to think you're in the clear. Until the league says we're not suspending him, there's no reason. It doesn't mean they have to say we are, but they've been talking with the league about this since, you know, November of last year. It's been 11 months. So I would think that at the very least, they would know that something could still happen since they weren't told that it was closed and not happening.
Right. Gotcha. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline with us here on WGR. So the news of the day today, let's start with the proceed cautiously. Deion Dawkins missing practice, Khalil Shakir missing practice. What's your read on both of those situations?
So Shakir had an ankle injury early in the game, as you know. And, you know, he was on the sidelines working out, trying to work it out, and he went back in the game. He fought through the ankle injury all game. I don't think he was quite the same with the ankle injury most of the game. I would say that he, you know, you could tell it was impacting him in some way. Not that necessarily that's why they weren't able to move the ball, but I'm sure it was a bit of a reason, right? A bit of a factor there. Now, after the game, obviously, you know, you do evaluations, and now it comes up where he's not practicing today. Sean said yesterday, McDermott on Monday, or at least he said that, you know, Shakir has an ankle injury. He's fighting through it, or he fought through it in the game, and they'll take it day by day. That's a good, when you says day by day, that's a good indication. The fact that he played the whole game on the ankle injury is encouraging. It doesn't mean that he can't miss a game, though. You could have adrenaline and taping it up, and things could happen once you're, you know, in the locker room and starts swelling up or whatever. So I would be cautiously optimistic that maybe they can get him back and he'll, you know, practice tomorrow would be a big day, obviously. So Deion, you know, when it came out today, he had a hamstring injury. I wasn't surprised because we actually saw this and I talked about it on
Blue
the broadcast
tent, right, yeah.
on Sunday night. What happened was during the game, it was early in the game, and I said on the broadcast, hey, I'm down here on the sidelines and Deion's talking with trainers and he's pointing to his right hamstring. And Bulldog, he never came out of the game during the actual game part, like when he's playing, but almost every series when he came off the sidelines, he went to trainers and they were using massage guns or he went in the tent very briefly. It wasn't like anything where we had any updates on that. And then he was talking with trainers. It seemed like it was happening every other series. So it just seemed like something was causing discomfort for him in some way, shape, or form. I couldn't tell if it was cramping or what, because it wasn't like he was, oh my gosh, hamstring, and really like there's some, hey, we have to have, is he going into the game? He's not. He's missing any plays. Nothing like that happened. So when that came out today, I wasn't totally surprised, but I know that it was kind of a surprise to a lot of people to see him there because there was no official report during the game. That's why it surprised the most fans. Like, during the game, there's no official report. There is on Taylor Rapp, right? And Deion plays the whole game. So we'll see where it goes. Now, Sean did answer the question when he was asked basically by Joe Viscalia about, like, where are you as far as, you know, him playing in the game, or is it just kind of monitoring it and, you know, being cautious? He said somewhere in between, meaning, yeah, we're being cautious, but it's a possibility he doesn't play on Sunday. So we'll see where it goes tomorrow.
Right. What if they have to pivot there? And I ask, you know, I know it's only Wednesday, and I want to be optimistic for him to find his way in, you know, onto the field on Sunday. But I feel like he and Brown have been just so good up front for the very most part that one of those guys going out feels like a big deal. What is the plan behind him?
I would assume it would have to be Ryan Vandermark. Ryan Vandermark is basically the backup tackle right now, the backup swing tackle, and that's because Tylon Grable is on injured reserve. Tylon Grable was the backup swing tackle that they kept him, and I was actually kind of surprised that Ryan Vandermark has been inactive. And Tylon Grable was active, but then Tylon Grable had an injury. Ryan Vandermark, he'd be in line to be active anyway, and he was on Sunday night because of the injury and the IR to Tylon Grable. So I would say that Ryan Vandermark would most likely be your you know, backup left tackle here.
All right, Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline here with us on WGR. How about the guys that are sort of easing back in? My read, for what it's worth, is like I'd be surprised if Bernard doesn't play. And I guess I would want to say, conversely, surprised if Taron Johnson does at this point. Just reading, you know, how it all sounded, how the guys sounded themselves about it. What do you think of those two?
I think that's very fair, the way you put it. I would agree on both fronts. I'd be surprised if Terrell doesn't play at this point after now this being his second week of practice. He practiced all week last week. He was just in a red non-contact jersey. And even last week, I posted a video and people could see he was doing everything with his arms. He was extending, catching a ball over his head. He was punching the ball out with his left and his right arms. He was shedding the bag and pushing it down with both arms, which when you have a pectoral injury, those are key things to do, right? So, you know, I think that, you know, he's trending right to me. But he did say, you know, that he's not sure, and, you know, they're taking it day by day. And these guys aren't going to reveal necessarily, right? It's not normal for them to say, oh, yeah, I'm playing. I mean, sometimes guys can say, I really want to, and I think I'm going to, but we usually don't get it from them. It's the coach that's going to tell us. And then as far as Johnson's concerned, I would agree with you that at this point, I'd be a little surprised only because even though he was back today, it feels like a little bit like Terrell Bernard last week. He was back today, but he was in a red non-contact jersey. And I'll add, from the media viewing portion that we saw, Bulldog, when the position, when his position was like hitting a bag, he never did. You know, when they were doing any sort of contact, he never did that. He did catch a couple passes from his position coach working one-on-one with him, but he did nothing physical like the rest of his position group did. He kind of just watched and stood off to the side of the line when they did things like that. He is also wearing a really big brace or cast or something on his forearm. It's pretty big. It's pretty bulky. And it goes really from his wrist all the way up to his elbow.
Yeah, it reads to me like he can't really take a shot on that thing yet. Even with that protective thing on it. So I don't know. Maybe that changes over these next few days. We can hope. I think they certainly missed him on Sunday. And, you know, then they've gotten by and Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram in a nice story. But Taron Johnson's one of their very best players. So, he can make it back sooner rather than later. But, yeah, I'm a little worried about him for Sunday in Houston. Is there anything else on the injury report that I'm skimming over here?
Yeah, Austin Johnson has an oblique injury, the defensive tackle. So he didn't practice today, and Taylor Rapp has a concussion. So he didn't practice today. He was off to the side working. So the other thing about Johnson, let's think about this. If you're without Taylor Rapp, which is a possibility, if you have Taron Johnson, it allows Cam Lewis to also be a flexible safety option for you, you know, if you need him there. And if you don't have Taron Johnson, then you can't do that. And then what happens? Now, without Taylor Rapp, you're most likely looking at Cole Bishop starting next to DeMar Hamlin. But you start to get thin at safety, right? So Taron's availability and Taylor's availability all kind of coincide with each other, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I stumbled into, and forgive me, I'm not sure where I saw it, like which reporters, you know, Twitter I saw it on, but Lewis Cine, right, was late practice squad addition to the roster, or not, I shouldn't say roster, but, you know, to the Bills on the practice squad. And I learned today he's working with linebackers. I talked a bit with Chris Trapasso an hour ago about this. Like, to me, that's not like an option to like fix what's going on right this minute. But is it at least a curiosity to you that he's been working with the linebackers?
Sure, it is. I would give you another reason that could be because, you know, if you're going to play like a dime safety role, like Jamarcus Ingram has been playing,
right?
Like that would be a role that he could play, and I think that he would be a pretty suitable guy for something like that. So a lot of times when you are in that type of role, you'll kind of work with certain position groups to get just a feel for being a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, how to act on some reads. Obviously, we know, I mean, I wouldn't expect him to be a linebacker, and I know you're not suggesting that. I would expect him to be a linebacker, but, you know, a way to kind of use him if they feel that that's his role, to be more of a dime safety in those situations, I'm not surprised that they would work him here and there on something like that.
Yeah.
He is an option when, you know, and if Taylor Rapp is out, I don't know. Somebody else asked me this yesterday. I don't know if we were talking on the podcast or not, but that's the first guy that I went to, too. I mean, because Kareem Jackson is certainly an option, but I think Lewis Cine, if you like what you've seen from him, no pun intended, you know, that you might want to turn there. He's played in this league. He's been on the team now for several weeks. Should understand the system a little bit better. Obviously, Cole Bishop would be, you know, the first guy in line, but if you need to elevate somebody, it would make sense that maybe he's the one.
Yeah, when I was talking about it with Chris just about an hour ago, I sort of stumbled into Jordan Poyer's role late last year. Like, maybe that is dime safety, basically, right? So
that's exactly right.
Maybe that's an option.
And it's what Jamarcus Ingram has basically been playing, you know, for the first few weeks, although I don't know how much they played it really on, you know, Sunday night necessarily. They didn't need to. But, you know, once Taron got hurt and Cam Lewis went to nickel, that's what they've been using Jamarcus Ingram for.
So, Sal, I've been phrasing it this way. The first great experiment of Josh Allen's career here is this remade receiving core and the plan, you know, see if they can get by without having, not even just get by, flourish without having, you know, a kingpin guy out there like Diggs. And, of course, now, you know, Davante Adams wants to be traded. It sure sounds like the Raiders want to facilitate a trade. I don't know. Like, I don't want to rush into it. I like the idea of finding out whether you need to have a $30 million receiver on the team. And, you know, I don't want to sacrifice a season over it, but I want to see more before I get on the, like, oh, my God, go get me Amari Cooper or Davante Adams.
Yeah, it's really fascinating for me, this whole discussion. It really is. Because they have intentionally gone away from that model, right? Which is 30-plus-year-old alpha wide receiver, commands a lot of targets, has a high salary, super good, Like, we're intentionally going away from that to everybody eats. We don't care about who gets the stats and numbers. We don't care about who gets the footballs. It's not about targets. We don't want to have this pressure of even having somebody around to have to feel like we have to have them getting targets, right? Like, that has been something very intentional by this organization. And through 3 weeks, it was working really well. Well, then comes Sunday night, and they just can't get much separation. This is not typically an organization under this regime that overreacts like that, like, which is, oh my God, we got to do something right now because of one game.
Right.
It is something, however, where they'll look at it and say, can we get by for the next 12 weeks and into the playoffs, I guess 12, 13 weeks, whatever, with what we have after what we saw? Like, is that an indication of what we're going to be lacking? And I'll give an example. I think signing this guy is Zion Logue. He's 6'6", 314 pounds. I'm sure that Sunday night, what happened against Baltimore, was part of a reason why they figured they needed a little bit more up front, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, let's do that. It doesn't have to be, oh my God, a complete overreaction necessarily, but you see that and go, okay, like, we have to kind of fix that. We run into teams like that. We don't want to be caught where we're a little bit light. But I wonder if they look at something that happened Sunday and say, okay, we got to be a little bit better here on the outside. That doesn't mean, though, that you want to completely alter your basic fundamental philosophy is the way I look at it, Bulldog, which right. has been, that's not what we're going to be about, bringing in a 32-year-old wide receiver with a hefty salary that we're going to be talking about, is he actually getting the ball enough or not?
Right. The question there becomes, I think, Sal, and we're going to run out of time here. I'm sure we'll have time tomorrow or Friday to revisit this, but I think, did you purposefully set out to do that, or did the circumstances that presented themselves, Diggs's disenchantment to whatever extent that was a problem, and could you just not find the right deal out there? Maybe San Francisco never really wanted to trade Brandon Ayuk, so you couldn't go out and get a guy to replace Diggs, so, you know, your mantra became everybody eats and nobody is egoless and all this stuff. But in reality, maybe the right deal didn't present itself, and maybe Amari Cooper and Davante Adams are the right deal for Brandon Bean. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a fair way to look at it. I would say, not to cop out, probably a little bit of both, which is, okay, like, we are salary cap strapped. We can't really bring in anybody big, but you know what? Do we really need to have this? We feel like we can be better. Did you read Jeremy Fowler's piece today on Stephon Diggs?
I did.
Okay, that's really good, because I think it kind of speaks to it, which is a realization of, do we really have to do that? Like, we could be good without him.
Yep.
Like, we right? But yeah, you're right. I mean, was it, well, we still like somebody, we just can't do it.
Right.
Maybe it's not him, but it could be somebody else. So I do think that's something, you know, to think about here. And as far as, real quick, the money, look, he's due $13 million on the cap now. There's no way the Bills could even do that. They'd have to have a reworked contract with the Raiders. The Raiders would literally have to re-sign him to a new deal, tear up this deal, restructure it, take on more money, and then send him to the Bills. Every week that he doesn't get traded, the money due to him for the new team is going to go down about close to $1 million.
Right.
So next week it'll be $12 million, then $11 million, a little bit more, a little bit less than that.
Yep.
And then it might become more palatable towards trading deadline for some team to be able to do that. The Bills do have the compensation, though. They have a one, they have two twos, they have a three. So that wouldn't be an issue as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Sal, thanks for this, man. And we'll for sure touch base tomorrow.
All right, you got it, man. Thanks.
Our man Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. We'll hit a timeout here. Stay on the Bills. Our man Chris Trapasso coming up right after this on WGR.